despite your tight schedule, thank you very much for this big turnout. And the website, about 90 people are participating online. Well, it is going to be a long meeting, 2 hours or so, so please give up. Please do not give up on us and stay with us to the end. Now, FY 2023 results announcement as to numbers already announced, so I'm not going into details. The revenue under 1.2 trillion yen, so it exceeded the 1 trillion yen mark for this is the, I think, very first time as a full year, and then up 26.5%. Pre-tax income, 141 billion, up 38.6%. The net profit, 113,616,000,000, up 58.5%. And the profit attributable to owners of the company, 87,243,000,000, up 146.1%. ROE went down when we acquired Shinsei Bank, but now ROE is recovering, and we are targeting at 10%, and it's just a question of time that we will reach that level. This is the comparison with the major competitors. Please look at them later. This is by segment. So for each segment, for all the other segments, revenue hit the record high. As to dividend, as we said before, 160 yen full year basis, including the 25th anniversary on July the 8th. And for that, we have 10 yen, and including that, full year basis is 160 yen, or take total payout ratio of 50.6%. So basically, dividend payout and the share buyback, that combination is the total shareholder return ratio. And for the time being, we are going to set around 30%, excluding the special factors such as sales gains of selling the subsidiary in the financial services business. For this time, dividend payout, 29%, around 29% or around 30%, an appropriate level, I would say. And the shareholders' benefits, there are no major changes here. Our products and crypto asset XRP, these are the choices that you can make. And as to the shareholders' composition, we have a very high the foreign investors the ratio. And after the COVID, in Nagoya and Osaka, we had information meetings in those locations to increase retail investors, retail shareholders. And 26.0, that is individuals, and 33.9, that is the overseas foreign. And the domestic financial institutions, 23.1, and the 10.3 for domestic business the corporations. So it is the very well balanced out. And the more than 240,000 shareholders, and as to the shareholders who hold one unit or more is 172,761. Business overview of each core business. Starting with financial services business, it is going very well. I myself, in the context of Zero Revolution, the securities business, what will happen to them, and what will happen to the financial services the business, and that is the most the interesting part for myself. And the result is as we have expected. So for the securities business, our securities business is just fine. The SBI Securities can continue as they are doing. And now our focus is now moving on to the semiconductor business as well. And also the banking business. It is a course to pay back 330 billion yen or so to the government. And by paying it down, that will put us on the jumping board to the next phase. So that is a must for us. And of course, the new development of the new products, financial products, and that's one example of other factors. But my biggest interest is here. So let us look at the results for the SBI Securities. Even after the Zero Revolution, both revenue and profit hit the record high. Of course, in the first half of the year, there was no Zero Revolution, and the impact of that revolution is from the second half of the year. And only in the second half alone, 15.8 billion yen or so lost the profit. The revenue, the profit, operating revenue, there's almost no change in the fixed cost, so the levels are similar. And this is for the banking segment. For our bank entities, they are doing very well. SBI Shinsei Bank targeting at 70 billion yen, and they are moving ahead. And we could feel assured with their performance. And as to other banks, SBI Savings Bank in Korea alone is having halving the profit IFRS basis, but they already hit the bottom. The worst period is already gone, and they are going to be better. Real estate and the construction or developer business, I'm saying that we should not extend loans into these sectors, but SBI Savings Bank absolutely wanted to lend loans, some loans to those sectors, and that turned out very bad. And my hunch and the situation in Korea, because when we bought the entity, the delinquency was 51%. And we did some analysis why they came up with such a situation. And I know what happened back then. And so I told them what they should not do in the current economy in Korea. But they did it anyway to some extent. But the impact there was not so significant. Still, compared to the other banks, the SBI Savings Bank alone, so the halving of the profit. And the SBI Bank and TP turning the black. And the TP Bank, it says the 10 or the million. And here, this is Savings Bank. The NPL ratio. So as I mentioned earlier, 51.6% is the delinquency ratio. They were on the verge of going under. And we invested 130 billion yen, and people said that why such investment? But they turned around and contributing to the overall profit. And now, delinquency is at 5.6%. And it is steady on that level. The Korean economy has already hit the bottom. We can say that, I think. And so this bank's profitability will be better. Moving on to insurance business, growing very steadily. In all the items, hit the record highs. And the number of the in-force policies is increasing steadily. So its stock business is expanding. It is very well balanced, and we are going to grow the business so that they are going to be the very steady sources of profit. asset management business, finally, Japan as a whole is moving toward enhancing asset management business. The government is encouraging it, and iDeCo and the new NISA are the examples of such focus. One after another, we are taking various measures, and the revenue increased by 5.3%. Pre-tax income has declined. Well, this is because of the one-off factor, the 8 billion yen, the proceeds of returning Morningstar brand in the previous year. Compared to that, the number looked much smaller. SBI Global Asset Management, both net sales and ordinary income hit the record highs. So two days ago, actually, our AUM exceeded the 6 trillion yen mark. So it's an extraordinary speed that the business is growing. This is the SBI Rheos Hifumi and SBI Okasan Asset Management. As to Okasan, we acquired it, and the ordinary revenue and ordinary income are increasing. So this is an evidence that we can make changes. How? Well, it depends. We look at the symptoms, and we need to give the good medication so that they can recover without any adverse scenario effects. So what we need to do is that we apply measures which suit each entity.
So group asset under management is now at 9.8 trillion. So I think it's a matter of time before we achieve 10 trillion. For the investment business, this business is loss-making at the profit before income tax level. It has been recovering substantially, but SBI Leasing, 4.4 billion positive, is a result for the company on a standalone basis. However, due to currency losses, it is 7.9 billion yen, and this is accounted for. So the way they hedge drastically, I have asked them to review the process, or else I am in a position to sell off the business if it doesn't recover. But I haven't overseen the leasing business in detail up until now, but I have spoken to Takamura-san today, and I have asked them to scrutinize the business so that performance can improve. Because all of this is FX losses, and we do procure aircraft from overseas, and of course, they cannot be sold right away. And if currency rates fluctuate along the way, it is likely to lead to losses. Of course, sometimes it can lead to gains, but I do not like these businesses with such volatility. I think what needs to be hedged needs to be hedged. However, if it can be predicted, you don't have to hedge. However, these kinds of businesses need to be hedged because you don't know when you can sell them off. If it can be sold off in 3 months' time or 2 months' time, then there are ways to hedge. If it's unpredictable for the next 12 months, or if you're not able to sell going forward, it's a different world. So it's a challenging business from that standpoint. Other than that, the investment business is going well. So for March 25, and the number of IPO and M&As, currently we are accounting for 45. First, I was told 51. So I asked my people to scrutinize the deals one more time. And then they said, "No, we're fine. We're fine, Kitao-san." The Executive Vice President in charge replied to me. So I believed in that. But we cut it down from 51 to 45. Now, of course, the environment regarding IPOs and the investees and its quality. We have been investing into quality companies, and the investees seem appears to be reaching the value that we have anticipated initially. So for March 25, we are looking forward to what may come through. So private equity total is at 801.8 billion. So we are in name as well as in value the biggest private equity capital company in Japan right now. So when you look at this, leasing services, 494.4 billion is the ordinary income, but this is accounting for the losses, and this is something we need to change as practice. For the crypto asset business, for March 23, there were bankruptcies, and having sufficient collateral in place was not a practice that was in place. So we worked on it, and if it didn't go past me, I said no to the opportunities, and we were very conservative in our approach. And now the Bitcoin ETF has been approved, and Bitcoin prices reached all-time highs. So we're in a good condition right now, and even more, B2C2 that we own for crypto assets, they are a market maker, and they are the world's greatest. So with trading volume increasing, we should be increasingly profitable. For example, the crypto asset business of the SBI's group, for Q1, Q2, Q3, and Q4, you could see that you saw a surge in the business in Q4 at 6.386 billion yen. So Bitcoin prices exceeded 10 million for the first time. When you look at the Monex Group's crypto asset business, like Coincheck and so forth, Q1, Q2 were loss-making. And in Q3, finally, they turned positive. And for Q4, they increased performance, but it's still at 2.8 billion. We are far profitable compared to them. B2C2 is one of the largest crypto asset market makers, and it has been able to increase its revenue substantially. So this is revenue on a quarterly basis. The reason why is because major crypto asset exchanges, Bitcoin transaction volume has been increasing. That makes this business profitable. So regarding the future, one catalyst may be Ripple and SEC litigation case and its outcome. The conclusion may be drawn at the end of June this year, meaning how much penalties are going to be paid. I don't think they're going to be able to avoid penalties, especially for the corporate side. And the retail side is winning, and that's why the issues became complicated. However, if the retail side or individual side wins, Ripple will probably say, was talking about all of these things out loud. So I think that made the SEC angry. So that's the issue at stake. But this may turn out to be a catalyst. Also, for the ETF, there may be institutional investors. There has been an increase of institutional investors that have started to enter this space. And we will partner with an entity and set up a joint venture with a company that is setting up an ETF that incorporates crypto assets. It's a U.S. company, and hopefully that will lead to good results. But basically, the backbone of virtual currencies is the blockchain. So for blockchain technology, I believe it still has tremendous potential for the financial business. Of course, in various ways, it will probably be incorporated into society as well in various ways. For SBI traceability, for example, by using blockchain technology, you're able to tell whether something is authentic or not. You're able to trace it. And with Japanese sake, this technology has been adopted. So for the next generation business, this is about bio and other parts of the business. This is loss-making as well. However, it's not a big thing. For SBI, our promo, because we are preparing for listing, there are costs associated to that, and we're planning to go to market by 2025. And also, raw materials. Our supplier has been asking for help, and because of that, because of the prices are high, not only have the suppliers come to us, but during the pandemic, people have started to say that ALA works, and it actually does work. It is able to suppress the pandemic. I believe in that. And there were some multiple numbers of papers that state so. So prices of raw materials went up back then. However, the prices have come up too much. So I've asked my people to sort things out. For example, it says extraordinary losses of 1.8 billion was recognized. So those are the things we have done as part of our review. So next part is SBI Group's dramatic growth will be achieved through business operations that maximize the organizational advantages of its business ecosystem. The business ecosystem, having the financial business based off this notion, I think was a great success. So the thinking of having an ecosystem was extremely fresh back then, and I was able to quickly incorporate this concept into our business. The reason why it wasn't accepted that much before was because of the conglomerate discount. People were talking a lot about that, and back in the 60s in the U.S., acquiring many companies, raising EPS, and by raising EPS, that will lead to higher corporate value. That was the mentality. But then in the 1980s, this mentality actually demised, and that is why people started to talk about a conglomerate discount. But I said no to that. If it's the same category of finance, synergies should be generated by creating a mechanism, and it should be a positive, not a discount. With that conviction in mind, I create an ecosystem in this business. So for the semiconductors business as well, we would like to manage it in the same way, under the same concept. So for semi-related companies, the other day I traveled to South Korea, and I met with the president of several semiconductor companies. I had dinner with them, and in South Korea, there's Samsung, obviously, and Hynix as well. So there's many companies associated in the semis industry. There's a lot of young companies with great technology as well. And we are making investments into them, and similar in Japan. But we basically would like to have this practice on a global basis. So going back, positive effects of Zero Revolution by SBI Securities is what I would like to speak about. In the second half, there was lost profits of 15.8 billion, and how were we able to offset the lost profit? We basically needed to prepare. It's not something that you suddenly state and do. So I declared this from 2019. I was saying that we'll do the Zero Revolution from back then. And then 4 years' time, we were going to do the Zero Revolution, is what I was saying. So it was the timing when it coincided with the start of the new NISA program. So we wanted that to be a good opportunity to start this initiative. So we did it. But what if we weren't able to offset the 15.8 billion worth of lost profit? I considered various options. However, I was sure that we will be able to offset that amount. Lowering prices, starting off with SBI E-Trade, SBI Securities, we wanted to do thorough price destruction. So we wanted to pursue quantity more than quality first, meaning the number of customers. Then, Because there is a variety of customers, you need to have a wide assortment of products available. And because there's a diversity of customers, you need to ensure that you have good compliance in place. And because you have more customers, you need to reinforce your IT system. So in various ways, you are able to make quality improvements. So this is the rule of Hegel. So we wanted to incorporate that. It's not just Hegel. Mao Zedong as well, he also has a phrase that is under the same notion. So I strongly believe in that. Therefore, if you do the zero revolution, I believe that we will definitely see the number of customers rise. And in our ecosystem, we will have a ripple effect. And that overall, we should be able to generate a big positive. I strongly believed in this, and no matter who opposed, I decided to go ahead with this initiative. So that's what we've been doing. So here says 15.8 billion and how we were, and a rough estimate of how this was derived. So 15.8 billion. If this wasn't in place, what would have happened? So operating revenue would have increased by 25%, and operating income would have increased by 36%. If we didn't do this program, it should have been 84,518,000,000, or even it should have been higher than that. And then when you do like-for-like comparison, when you compare against Nomura, Daiwan, and so forth, if you add 18.5 billion, we actually exceed Daiwa Securities. So on an underlying basis, we are already at that level, for sure. So if overseas goes well, some other parts of the business doesn't go well, that was the case for Nomura. For Daiwa, they're quite stable in their performance. But what's important here is the number of customers. In our case, we have been able to see a steady increase of customers. So we were able to achieve increased revenue. It was up by 16.2%. And what increased? When you look at the details, you'll be able to see here what increased. So this is when we announced the zero revolution right here. So October, November, December, January through March, I was really interested in the March quarter in particular because in the December quarter, we didn't know what was likely to happen because we just started it. But when you look at the March quarter, you're able to tell the outcome. So what we were able to tell in the March quarter was, first, revenue. It was 51,664,000,000. When you look at the past track record, starting from the fourth quarter of 2023, March, this is the highest ever revenue. So whether revenue increases or not was my utmost interest, and we were able to increase revenue. So what was the factor behind this increase? It was financial revenues. We were able to achieve 18,798,000,000, which was unprecedented, and also trading revenues. It stayed firm. For trading revenue, for the third and fourth quarters of March 24, when you look at the total of the two, we were able to see a boost in trading revenue. So we should look at both. And for other commissions, especially for investment trusts, what's happening there was what we focused on. And Tsuji Hongo, we partner with them in order to reinforce M&As. And what happened to advisory fees is another area we looked at. And for the 823 million at the very bottom, in Q3 it was 638 million. This is for foreign stocks, commissions, and so forth. And if we didn't do the Zero Revolution, it should have been as high as that you see on the left. So now you could see the breakdown of what contributed. And for margin trading and open interest credit balance and financial revenue, actually, it achieved record highs. So in the fourth quarter, it grew by 41.9% year-on-year. And also for financial revenues, it grew by 39%. And also investment trust balance both recorded record highs. And for the fees, it grew by 40.2% year-on-year. So the needs for Tsumitate NISA in the trend from savings to investment, it has been expanding. And as of May the 9th, it has exceeded 211.1 billion yen. And in March 25, we believe on an annual basis, the buildup will exceed 2.5 trillion yen. For SBI Wrap, the discretionary service, AUM is 97.8 billion and 120,000 in application. For foreign stocks, it also reached a record high on a revenue basis. It is close to two times. For trading value of foreign stocks or U.S. stocks, it has increased and reached record highs. Also, for futures and options and individual stock options, individual stock options can be a hedge, but it hasn't really penetrated the Japanese market. Actually, it's really high and popular in South Korea. It may be actually the biggest market for options. That's how much it has grown. So this is something I really want to grow. So I have been telling my securities people to really work on this or else they're going to be fired. There's still more opportunity for growth. Futures and options are likely to grow steadily as well. So trading revenue, which is FX revenue and foreign bond sales, we are seeing record highs here. It went up by 9.2% year-on-year.
This is the sales of foreign currency bonds. Again, there's volatility because of FX, but you can see there's a nice steady growth. And further increased revenue by acquiring new customer segment and offering new products and services. As we implemented Zero Revolution, there's one number that is quite interesting. I found it to be interesting. So larger customers with over 100 million yen in assets under management grew 90% in the year before and after the Zero Revolution. And those with over 500 million yen in the same period grew by 75%. So the image is that people think that people who use online brokers are only investing a small amount. The fact is very different from that. It's actually high net worth that are entering into this online brokerage where there's zero fees. Even if you look at for open interest credit balance in a margin transaction, you see the ratio for large lot trades increasing. Even in domestic stocks, spot and margin, ultra large lot above 30 billion to medium lot, 0.1 billion trades have increased greatly around the Zero Revolution. And now this trade accounts for approximately 75% of the monthly execution value for domestic stock trades. So Nomura and Daiwa Securities, they try to sell the wrap accounts and wealth management. But it is us that's actually increasing the number of customers in reality. So we have actually established a wealth management business department, and we are operating in an integrated manner from sales to operational management for corporate and affluent customers. Just the other day, I was speaking with the president of one foundation, and he said, "Kitao-san, your company is just incredible. Let me hear your story." We have, because of the relationships, In the past, we have been using this one particular brokerage firm, but we're planning to change it. That's what he said. And if that changes, then I think the environment will change quite significantly in Japan, whether it be religious corporations or school corporations. We need to thoroughly capture them. And I have just made that instruction. And we are actually growing IFA business steadily as well. If you look at the number of new accounts opened for Q4 2023, it was record high. And we are strengthening the consistent IPO underwriting system by utilizing functions within group. The venture debt needs to be expanded. And we need to combine the bank and the securities because we're able to engage in new business. We have SBI investment, and we have nearly more than 1,200 investees, the portfolio companies in SBI investment. And we SBI Securities have undertaken 132 IPOs. This is an incredible number. So if you look at the underwriting share, looking from April 23 to March 2024, there's 99 companies that were listed during this period. Our underwriting share is 19.9%. So we're either lead underwriter or sub or co-underwriters. But you can see 90.9% is an overwhelming share. SBI Securities underwrote 21 companies as lead manager, which is record high during this period. It's not just IPOs. We have also done POs, and we're growing our business. We underwrote 19 POs year to date, and we have also underwrote corporate bonds, for example, for Tokyo Electric Power Company. Many are asking us to underwrite, and we have actually underwrote 45 corporate bonds. So without our power, our strength, you know, there are products that are difficult to sell. So we have the sales capabilities which exceed others. And this is quite significant. And the fact that Nomura Securities is really losing the, you know, glory of the past is because they're not losing, they're losing out on their sales capabilities. So maybe they're not really reducing the number of customers, but they're certainly not increasing. And of course, the customers are aging. And that's the issue. This is the M&A business targeting SMBs. You know, of course, if we did M&A business with the larger companies, it's much more efficient. When I was in Nomura, I was engaged in a lot of M&A business. Of course, the efficiency is good. It's the same amount of work, and yet the fees are completely different. But of course, there's a lot of needs among the SMEs as well, including business succession. And these are diversifying. And trying to meet all of these even smaller needs and diversified needs is important for the economy of Japan. So we are trying to leverage the strength of Hongo Tsuji M&A. Now we have SBI Cross. It's a spot trading matching service for domestic stocks. So we want to provide customers with much more beneficial execution abilities. We have the PTS, and then we have JMark, X-Market, and we have now established a dark pool called SBI Cross. And we're able to reduce the transaction cost. We want to create a world where there's no need for back office anymore. So zero evolution has positive effects, which is rippling through the financial ecosystem in terms of expanded customer base, increased market share. So this is SBI Group's customer base, which is expanding at a rapid pace. If you look at just the CAGR, 12,452 accounts. In fact, we have exceeded 1,300 today, and the CAGR is 13.5%, and from the end of March 2009 to end of March 2023. And Nomura is 1.4, so that means that they have hardly increased. SMBC Nikko is 3.2, and because they had an acquisition, the group companies integrated, so that's why it's higher. And this is really important. The fact that the SBI Group's number of securities accounts is increasing at an accelerated pace. So it took 8 months to go from 8 million to 9 million, from 9 million to 10 million, it was 6 months, and from and then 10 million to 11 million is 6 months, I'm sorry, 7 months, and then 11 million to 12 million is 4 months. So that is why media came and interviewed me and said, you know, how long do you think it will take to reach 20 million? I told him this is how fast we are growing. The number of new accounts opened is one step higher after the zero revolution. Now it's 766,000, which is record high. And during this time, it's not just an announcement of zero revolution on August 31st, 2023, but we have also launched part two, and then we also launched part three in September 2022 and then November 30, respectively. And finally, we have come to this level. SBI Group's share of trading value has increased rapidly from the start of zero revolution. So we started in September 30, 2023. And if you look at the trend in share of individual stock trading value, it's 52.1. And if you look at of which trend in share of individual margin trading value, it's 55.2. So it's not just about number of shares increasing, but we're also expanding our market share. And there are various alliances that we have formed. We have formed alliance with the financial institutions, regional banks, and also Shinsei Bank, SBI, Sumishin Net Bank. You know, there are alliances there, so we have rolled out different types of alliances. But since the announcement and start of the zero revolution, you can see that in these different forms of alliances, it's the effect is manifested. Same with the alliance with SMBC Group as well. So in March 2024, we have achieved plus 15% month on month. And with Olive, we are actually increasing very steadily the accounts that are brokered by SMBC. It's approximately 180,000 now, and month accumulated amount through SMBC is approximately 73.3 billion yen. So the mega bank's card, especially SMBC's card, when someone comes into a company as a new worker or new recruit, they all issue cards. They all write up cards. So that's why we have this multi-card strategy. I always tell them that we need to be thoroughly multi-strategy, whether it be cards. So, for example, we have Sumitomo Mitsui card, Takashimaya card, Tokyu card, Aplus UCS card, JFR card, and Oracle card. You know, it's SBI Securities allows accumulation type of fund investment with all of these, total of 7 credit cards. It's much better than one card. And here is, we talk about Rakuten's ecosystem. It's quite a bit of a financial ecosystem, but you can see that we have adopted multi-point strategy. And there's an integration of V-point and T-point on 24th of April. And then Ponta is joining forces. And you have all of these other different points. And we are now establishing a multi-point ecosystem. And SBI Securities seeks to the top position in number of NISA accounts with zero revolution part two. And I have been saying this persistently. In the exec committee, I heard that we are behind Rakuten, so we instructed them to implement strategies against Rakuten, and they were giving me all these silly strategies, so I have added pressure to them, and they have finally come up with different measures to deal with Rakuten. But the real winning point is to actually increase the overall number, and it's really a matter of time. So Nomura and Daiwa, this is their situation. Number of newly opened NISA accounts and NISA account transfers from other security companies are rising as well. Year on year, it's plus 161.1%. This is above 800,000. And this is quarterly trend of the number of NISA account transfers from other security companies. So by the end of the year, there was quite an increase, and then there's a big fall as a result of that. But you can see that on a year-on-year basis, it's plus 188.7%. Even in January-March period, it's 24.3%. So a quarter has actually transferred to our account. And this is very clear. Rakuten only published information like this on a quarterly basis, so we tracked it. So you can see January-June 2022, we were behind. We always look at it on an entirety, so we don't really, you know, we're paying attention to the details of NISA accounts, for example. But I've been saying that this is a strategically important product for us, NISA accounts are, and as well as iDeCo accounts. And my voltage really went up. Was the start of new NISA, I said, you know, we need to thoroughly work on this. And we were able to exceed Rakuten in July, and we exceeded significantly in January, in June, and they worked hard to catch up. And you can see July, December, they came very close. But then again, in January and March 2024, we were quite a bit ahead of them. Maybe they all ran out of bullets. You know, I'm sure they did their best. But we started early on building a system structure that can withstand the expected increase in the customer base. Systems are the most important in order to implement a strategy like this. SBI Simplex Solutions has been established. It was February 28, 2023. Approximately 600 IT engineers operate as a group of practical IT engineers. Furthermore, we are migrating to AWS cloud. It has to be cloud going forward. Why cloud? Why did not Japan implement cloud earlier? Banks, core bank system, what we're developing right now is all based on cloud. We're using AWS. We can really benefit from agility and resilience if we go cloud. We will be absolutely stronger. We can see transaction stability. And, you know, there are fees, costs associated with it. But this is for the customers. We don't want to be thrifty if it benefits the customers. So expansion of SBI Securities customer base contributes to the SBI group as a whole. And I've been saying this persistently before we started, I said this will be the picture. This is our ecosystem, and we want to add positive impact on all the companies in our ecosystem.
And that is exactly what happened. This is one example. Yeah, the FX business. The operating revenue before distribution, operating profit, and after distribution in all items, big increases. And the SBI liquidity market, the CAGR of 14.7%, that is how operating revenue of the entity increased. The market-wise, the trading value was decreased year on year. Despite that, they could hit the record high operating revenue. I'm really impressed. There's a person called Ozaki-san with us, and he is heading SBI Liquidity Market. Ozaki-san and his team and their technology that is really great. They have never betrayed my expectation. That's how they are. The number of accounts, the five major FX trading companies, surpassed 2.2 million. And we are showing GMO Group and others as well. And on the right-hand side, we have customer margin deposits of FX trading-related companies. GMO, with some acquisition, showed some increase, but we surpassed them, and we are dominant in this area as well. And please look at this. It's very clear that the customer base for the whole group has expanded with this zero revolution. Finally, group-wise, it exceeded 50 million. And the growth rate compared to March 2022, March 2023, 8.4% plus, but plus 10.6% year on year from March 2023 to March 2024. In other words, with zero revolution. So the zero revolution significantly contributed to the expanding the customer base for the group, the results of synergy between SBI Shinsei Bank and SBI Group. So we acquired it, and Kawashima-san is now heading it. Since then, number of accounts and the deposit balance are significantly increasing. It started with 6.3 trillion yen. It has been on that level for a long time, and then it is coming to the doubled level. The number of accounts, customers, it was not increasing. Actually, it was declining slightly, but now it is on this level. The stronger tie-ups examples are here. Please read them later. And this is the collaboration with SBI Securities in the financial products, intermediary business, and banking agency business has contributed significantly to the increase in the number of retail accounts and deposits of SBI Shinsei Bank. So when we look at the December 2023, for the very first time, the number of accounts exceeded 40,000, in which 70% came from SBI Securities. So this tie-up or the other cooperation is important. And it should be seamless, connected seamlessly, and that boosts the number of customers. In 2007, the net bank was established, and for a short period of time, it grew. And that was because of SBI Securities. And that experience, that was my experience. Now, Kano-san, the SoftBank Shiten in Suruga, we, in 2000, that I did make one example to be the number one branch, and I also successfully increased the number of customers greatly. And the business pattern also, I think, that was taken, and that is about seamless connection. Well, when it comes to business pattern, I do not complain if others are using the pattern because I want the whole country to get better. The way of thinking in this country is pretty much behind the rest of the world. We need to make advancements. We need to believe more in technology. In the wholesale business, the corporate deposits, it was 1.6 trillion in March 2022, and in March 2024, 5.6 trillion yen, plus 240%. New business partners, plus 231% from 35 to 116. So the Shinsei Bank, they became Shinsei Bank. Chris Roberts and the management, what they did is just to put the old customers to the corner. And Terry Porter and Chris, what they did was buy non-banking entities one after another to get profit from their business. It's not about bank business itself. They forgot about it. And now, Kawashima-san, successfully opened the gate of the Shinsei Bank, and the result is these numbers. Significant expansion of project finance in cooperation with SBI Securities. 43 cases, 63.9 billion to 75 cases and 236.9 billion. The synergies have been created incessantly. When it comes to structured finance or project finance, where the Shinsei Bank had the people, professionals in that area, but you need customers. Without customers, you cannot use your expertise. And we evaluated their expertise and what kind of customers would fit this, the project finance approaches. And always, what we do is to see in what way there will be a good matching between the technology or expertise and business. And since Nomura era, ASP, that is sales. In other words, analysis, S and the strategy. After analysis, you set up a strategy, and the P is to make actions. Because if you don't make actions, you cannot make any money. Generating mutual synergy among the expanding business ecosystem, introducing new products, services, and the way of marketing. SBI Money Plaza further expands its business scale by strengthening its co-managed store strategy and developing a sales strategy in line with current trend. Izuchi-san, who died at 57 years of age, he was the president of SBI Securities. And Mr. Izuchi was developing this business so hard, and now they are up and running and becoming really profitable. With this business, for example, the SBI Shinsei Bank or the regional financial institutions are benefiting. The 14 banks and 22 other stores, and the Sanjusan Bank, for example, we do not have any capital relationship, but now we already have second such a store. This is co-managed store with SBI Money Plaza. It's very effective. And with the first-tier regional banks, this type of business is expanding. There is no capital relationship. I'm saying that it has nothing to do with capital relationship with all the regional financial institutions. Those who want to work with us or to have capital from us, such banks and financial institutions are increasing. Now we have nine the co-managed stores with SBI Shinsei Bank. And now they're reaching 413.2 billion yen of AUM. At co-managed stores, it's not just about equity or not just about a fixed asset. For example, there are real estate-related products or ST. security token, the market will get much bigger, and we will do it more. The regional financial institutions, even with securities arm, they are not capable of doing that kind of business right now, but they should be able to, so that the customers' needs in regions can be satisfied. The trend of total sales of estate small lot beneficiary interests at SBI Money Plaza up 76.1% year on year. And in 2024, SBI Shinsei Bank is going to have co-managed stores at all the 22 branches. And by the end of September 2024, they are going to be set up 7 stores. Endeavor to expanding customer with positioning iDeCo as the SBI Group's new strategic product. You have to do good work for the iDeCo. And if the government the focus is only on new NISA, that is only halfway through. For the Japanese people to build their assets, iDeCo is very important. It's 401k. DC, defined contribution. Since 2017, from May 19th, we made it completely free of charge. In 2001, we established SBI benefit systems, and they are running in the red. But I'm sure that this is something that Japan needs sometime down the road. That was my conviction. And actually, under Suga administration, was introduced as new program, NISA as well. Balance of investment trust for 401k distributed by SBI Securities. The CAGR is 49.3%. Combined annual growth from end of March 2016 to end of March 2024. So there is a big potential of growth here. In the DC area, we are number one in terms of number of other customers. And here, we surpassed Tokyo Marine and Fire, and since then, we have been the dominant constantly. We are number one constantly. Provide products to customers within and outside the SBI Group that capture social trends and needs in the asset management business. The society is changing. It's not the area where you can choose between equity and fixed asset. There are many new areas to satisfy needs. That's what we need to do. And for that, we are going to offer new products. For example, SBI iShares India Equity Index Fund with the industry's lowest trust fee rate. We need to work for customers, because that way you can sell most. SBI Japan High Dividend Equity Fund. It has been selling so enthusiastically, only in a short period of time reached the 71,570 million. SBI Asset Management, there are 10 10 quarterly distribution type investment trusts. Of course, the trading equity and fixed asset will be most profitable. But rather than that, this is the way that we should pursue I would be most the rich if I focus only on equity or bond trading. But what I would like to do is to the work for the people, for the society. The U.S. and Europe, for example, Europe, we have very, very good names, very well known. For example, the brand names in Europe, everyone knows them. And those the brand names are included, and the dividend is quite good. So yield is good. Is that true, Asakura-san? What is the level? Yield is around 6%. So that's what it is. SBI Rails and alternative. We provide investors with new investment opportunities such as alternative investments. So alternative products, it's a must. We need to do that. And I have been saying that for a long time. In Japan only, that's not good enough. We need to tie up with the global leading companies. So the Man Group in the U.K. and KKR in the U.S. with these two entities, we are going to set up joint ventures. We have agreed on that. And the Man Group is strong at alternative strategies, and KKR are good at the private equity, debt, real estate. In other words, alternative assets is their strength area. And on both sides, we are going to set up joint ventures.
Also, private equity incorporated publicly offered investment funds. From an early stage, I was saying out loud that we should create such a fund that includes unlisted securities, but the FSA had been saying no. And from the year 2000, so that we can gain approval, we created three funds that are Luxembourg funds. And we have one with Pictet right now that's a Cayman fund. So it's legally viable because, and we were trying to question Japan, why aren't we able to have this in Japan? Why is the FSA against this kind of product? Finally, the society has changed. Now, unlisted stocks can be included up to 15% in investment trusts. So it will enhance the liquidity of unlisted stocks. It will not only increase funding opportunities for venture companies, but also provide individual investors with the option to invest in growing companies even before their IPO. This is good for the unlisted companies and good for investors as well. I have been talking about this since the millennium, the year 2000. And like Kobayashi says, if you look 100 steps ahead, people will think that you are crazy, but you will be left behind if you just look at what's right in front of you. So what's great is to look 10 steps in front of you. In Japanese society, I am always looking ahead by 100 steps. But unfortunately, things do not work out well when you're looking out too ahead. But in the case of the U.S., it's different. People will start to become interested in what you're saying. Japanese people are so conservative. This mentality really needs to change, or we're going to be left behind. And that's why we're in this kind of economic circumstance where personal income is declining per capita. So what the heck are we going to do? And also, we are seeing progression in an aging society. And by 2030, we're going to have 5 million plus people who have dementia. So what is Japan going to do? Well, I'm not going to live that long going forward, but for the young people who are here in this room, what is going to happen to you? You need to seriously think about yourselves. You have to vote. Seriously. You have to think about yourself and think, is this all right? Have your livelihoods become better? The weekend ongoing, is that good? Prices of goods continue to increase, and real wages continue to decline. It has been happening for the past several of years, and people are talking about wage increases, but more than that, inflation is stronger. So real wages obviously is declining. So is this kind of politics acceptable? I'm not saying I'm in favor of the opposition party, but I want to be supportive of decent people. So it's all on you. So next page is about achieving 20 trillion of AUM by fiscal 2027. This is something that we definitely would like to do. Group companies that make up the digital ecosystem are actively developing new services and products to promote rapid growth in digital asset domains. In our case, for crypto assets, we have SBI VC Trade and BitPoint. We have two exchanges, and each carries 20 types and 22 types. There's a diverse range of types of products. And also, staking services. You might not be familiar to this. It adopts a proof-of-stake mechanism in the blockchain, and in accordance with the amount of crypto assets held in the blockchain, you are able to participate in the generation approval of blocks and support the operation of the blockchain network and earn rewards in this process. So at the two exchanges, we are seeing more of the staking balance, and the staking revenue at SBI VC Trade, and the revenue as a percentage of net sales is very high. It is showing good performance. So because it was high in the past, it's presumed to be high in the future. But in the world of investment, that is not something that's guaranteed. You need to have eye as well as knowledge, as well as intuition. In any case, customer satisfaction has been increasing because of staking. So far, things have been working out well, and the staking rewards have been at high levels. Crypto asset customers have increased by 2.5 times in 2 years. It is now at 800,000-plus accounts. And also for VC Trade and BitPoint, AUM has been exceeding 100 billion yen, respectively. SBI Group promotes stablecoin-related initiatives with high growth potential as well. So stablecoin is increasingly going to be adopted around the world. So crypto, it's a type of crypto asset that is linked to the price of a specific legal tender, and it can be used in the virtual world as well as the real world. So there's various scenarios that can be anticipated. And because of the Revised Payment Services Act in Japan, a collateralized stablecoin is defined that are backed by legal tender. In our case, within Japan, we are trying to circulate stablecoins within Japan, and the number two company in the U.S. called Circle that has a market cap of 5.2 trillion. We are partnering with them. They have a stablecoin called USDC. It's U.S. dollar denominated, so it is backed up by U.S. dollars. Number one is Tether. Number two is USDC. So in earnest, we are currently under process of registering as an electronic payment instrument service provider. And in addition, SBI VC Trade is playing a central role in the system integration between Circle and SBI Shinsei Bank for the handling of USDC. And also for security tokens, ODX, or Osaka Digital Exchange, has established a committee called START in order to grow this business even more. So this is another topic that has newly come out. It's an entity called Chili's, which is the world's largest sports fan token platform. We have signed a basic agreement in establishing a JV. For those people who are interested, it is a very interesting initiative. Many famous sports teams like Arsenal, AC Milan, FC Barcelona, Inter Milan, and so forth, these types of famous teams leverage Chili's to issue fan tokens. And this is a space we are going to enter. It has recorded a record volume of over $300 million in just 24 hours, and we believe this is something that will prove to be popular amongst the young population. So from here on, this is the part that I wanted to talk about the most today. It's our strategy. Like I've been saying from earlier, semiconductors is one of our, we recognize it as one of the most important businesses right now. And together with that, we would like to reestablish our business portfolio at the same time. Because of changes in economic circumstances in Japan and abroad. First, the SBI Group has been promoting thoroughly, reinforcing its profitability through allocating business resources to the banking business in anticipation of rising interest rates in Japan. And of course, already, in the financial services business segment, when you look at the breakdown, for March 24 in the securities business, it accounted for 42%, but the banking business accounted for 53.8% of the business. The banking business is contributing more already. In 23, the savings bank was doing better. It was around reaching 30 billion or so. So it was at 62.6%. So if they recover again, and Shinsei is likely to grow even more in the future, and for the listed SBI Sumishin Net Bank, they actually announced their results this morning, but they are also seeing better performance. For the insurance business, it's a steady buildup of businesses, basically. So with that as a backdrop, regarding the outlook of the banking business, when interest rates start to go up, what is likely to happen? So the impact of rising rates, policy interest rates to have on SBI Shinsei's bank is shown here. For fiscal 24, on a standalone basis, a positive effect of 6.7 billion centered on loans and asset management of securities paired with a negative effect of plus effect of 4.8 billion from higher interest rates will result in increased revenues of about 2 billion is what we're expecting. And also for retail and corporate businesses, costs are expected to increase for bond procurement. But on the lending side, we expect increased income centered on corporate loans and housing loans businesses for a positive effect overall. And for corporate lending, it's pretty sticky. We have sticky retail deposits, so we believe that we'll be able to see this come through. So we should expect a positive impact, but we need to be prudent with our efforts. So for NetBank, the same thing applies. We should see positive impact come through. So the annual impact in a year is expected to be about plus 5.5 billion. So strengthening the banking business by the strategy to create further synergies between the SBI Group and SBI Shinsei Bank Group. So how are we going to expand the customer bases of both entities? So it's going to be under the fourth mega bank concept and promoting this concept thoroughly. So the fourth mega bank concept. If we haven't done it yet, we shouldn't say it that much. For example, we had a passion to acquire Shinsei Bank, and in the fourth mega bank concept, we needed to turn it into a core part of our group. But I didn't state that before. However, in my head, it was already there. Going forward, for the bank and its asset side, of course, we will pursue organic growth, but we would like to grow it even further through M&A and acquiring assets. And also, we would like to grow it internally and externally. So what I mean by that is it applies to banking and securities, but we would like to ensure we have more integration between internal and external. What kind of resources are we going to give out externally? We need to think about this seriously, and I think we are in those times. But I would like to talk about this in detail later on. And we would like to also have wide area regional platforms with the SBI Shinsei Bank as its core. By pursuing the benefits of improvements in efficiency and the expansion of our business scope through wide-ranging collaboration, because with over 100 regional financial institutions, we have various alliances in place already. And for SBI Shinsei Bank, corporate lending is its strength. And the cooperation with other regional financial institutions is expanding steadily. So doing these initiatives is extremely important to expand the customer base. And also in the semiconductor area, in expanding the corporate customer base, it's very critical. For example, the other day I visited Taiwan and P5. I went to the opening of the most advanced factory. And at the ceremony, I was getting explanation about the clean room and so forth. But for semiconductor materials, 70% of it comes from Japan. And for the 60% of production equipment comes from Japan, is what I heard. So we're right in the middle. We're in Japan. And we're trying to engage in the semiconductors business now. So Japan makes all of these things. So together with the semiconductor manufacturers, we would like to have a close relationship. This will be a very big thing. It will be a big positive in as we seek to expand our corporate customer base. So we don't want a situation where the bank thinks that the semiconductor industry is irrelevant. Same thing applies for the securities business. For regional financial institutions, when we announced that we were going to be in the semiconductors business, the 31 local governance started to call upon us that they want to attract us to their region. Next time, I have decided on Miyagi ultimately, but there are going to be we're going to gather multiple regional financial institutions so that I could have a lecture there. Kawashima-san is working on it, but in order to do good funding in a large way and also to have transactions, we're going to have this kind of relationship because they have the money, but they have no one to lend to, and that's a big issue. However, the semiconductors arena is likely to grow going forward. And if we get the borrowings, that would serve as a positive for the financial institutions and also for business corporations. Mr. Takamura is working on various alliances right now. And together with the PSMC people, he is working on it. And I think we made an announcement today about Lester and that we paid $3 billion to own their shares. And for Lester, they are a major semiconductor wholesale trading company. So also for distribution, once you make the semiconductors, you need to deliver them. And from two companies right now, within the site of the factory, they're asking if they can establish a center so all of the products can be concentrated and then can be delivered by trucks. So for the factory, we would like to automate it as much as possible. According to Mr. Sun, he's been saying, Kitao, you could use AI. You don't have to hire people. Everything can be automated. Of course, I don't know if we can go that far. However, as a partner from Taiwan, or through a joint venture in China. All the people are Taiwanese, but about 250 people are going to be here who are well-versed in P5 in the semiconductor world. So this is going to be our strongest weapon in conducting this business. And also, at the executive level, we are going to do exchange, a personnel exchange. Before, it was about raising hands. We were asking around at SBI or at Shinsei Bank and asking if people were interested to engage in personal exchange. But now, at the executive level, we would like to do this kind of exchange. For example, a person at senior managing director and a managing executive officer in charge of financial corporate sales and corporate sales at SBI Shinsei Bank was appointed to become the senior managing director at SBI Securities. She is a very powerful person, and she's originally from Goldman Sachs, and was she's basically a born salesperson. So those are the types of people that we would like to allocate. And also in Singapore, just having people from securities or just having people from investments, we're going there. But now a bank person is going to go there. And we believe that at Singapore, we might be able to open up new opportunities. So we have appointed a person from the bank so that the person can be a joint head in Singapore. So we have people now from securities and the bank in Singapore so that they could work to expand their respective areas. So if you're going to do universal banking, this is the way you should proceed. In Japan, because of the law, banking and securities was being divided, and they don't have that kind of thinking. But I wanted to do it, and now the circumstances allow this to happen. Furthermore, repayment of public funds by SBI Shinsei Bank. From the time of acquisition, this is the great cause of SBI, to repay the public funds. And they haven't paid back their public funds for 20 years. And I've been saying that that's like a thief. And I've been saying that out loud. And I think people agreed to what I'd been saying. And repaying the loans in full will enable us to flourish dramatically, is what I have on my mind. So this is where we are right now. So we did a 2,800 yen per share TOB on February the 9th, 2024. And we also acquired 19.3 billion of fractional shares arising from the DIC that was treated as a repayment of public funds. So it was for the first time in 18 years that we made a repayment. So there's about 330 billion remaining. And S-Grant Corporation is now here, and now 7 shares. And the voting rights share, we have 64.81%. The DIC and the RCC has 11.11% each, and S-Grant Corporation has 12.96%. And people were questioning the ownership of S-Grant Corporation, but I welcomed it. I would like Murakami-san's expertise to be leveraged for this great cause, because he used to originally work for Medi, so it's for the sake of Japan. And there was poor management in place before, and activists. Murakami-san turned into an activist because he had his passion not to allow this from happening. So he is striving to have better management in place, so I don't think he is in a position to oppose. That's the way I think. At an early stage, he came to me, and he was asking me to make an investment in his fund. I really agree to his passion. However, I said that we personally make funds, and we don't do GPs. We don't do LPs. We do GPs, but not LPs. And that is the principle of our business. So I declined his offer back then. However, but having this presence of S-Grant might be good. So because there is a so-called SNS activist lately. I'm not going to name the person, but I regard this person highly. For Mercari, GMO, and having an AGM just online is something that this person was angry about. Of course, it might have been good during the pandemic days, but many shareholders should be addressed, and the company should listen to what shareholders have to say in person. Therefore, in our case, we have about 2,000 people worth of retail investors come to our information meeting, and even at our shareholders meeting, at most, we have about 800 people at highest. And even after that, we still get about 400 to 500 people who attend. And I really want them to come and listen and give us feedback. And if it's a positive piece of feedback, we would like to apply it to our business. And if there is anything that's misleading, we would like to correct what's being misunderstood. I'm spending 2 hours of time talking about thoroughly to analysts and to the people who attend. I don't think there's any other company like that. The head of the company will talk in brief only. I have everything in my mind about the company. I'm 73 years old. I'm not comparing against other companies, but at least a manager needs to be able to do this much, or else they can't be called a manager.
So I sidetracked a little bit, but this is a schedule and direction for the future. So the basics is to make sure that the business performance improves. So the target, 70 billion, Kawashima-san will steadily make progress to achieve this target, and the achievability is quite high, I think. And even already, he has been able to deliver considerable results in a short term. So by March 2025, specific mechanism for the payment of the public funds will be proposed to DIC and RCC. And then we will faithfully discuss and honestly discuss on a specific mechanism for repayment and reach agreement by June 2025. And SBI Shinsei Bank's results. This is where I want you to pay attention to, is ordinary business profits. For the first time in 13 years, has exceeded 100 billion yen. And I said, believe that it's fully possible to achieve a consolidated net profit of 70 billion yen. So, you know, here you see this growth already from 22 to 23 by 35.6%. And then the interest rates will go up as well, like I said earlier. And during that time, they need to continue to increase the deposit base. It's about double, so I'm sure it will increase furthermore. Aside from that, the customer base is changing dramatically. If the securities customer base changes, then if the bank and the securities are seamlessly linked, then the bank's customer base will continue to expand. I have tried to look at when we went public, SBI Securities Bank, how much was the pricing? This is 2003, 664, and then 674 in 2004. So 674 in 2004, and IPO price was 8,720. 20 yen on February 2004, 8,720 yen. In 2006, April 10th, the highest price was 8,880 yen. And there was a Lehman Brothers collapse, and it went down, and there wasn't any new creative ideas and management, and it was all very backward-looking. The management like that continued on. That was the case. And share prices continued to remain sluggish. And on the day of TOB announcement was 1,440 yen. You can see this is the profit level. And this dramatically increased to 70 billion yen. And if you look at the market, this is the market at that time. You can see it has exceeded significantly. Now it's above 40,000 yen. It has been steadily increasing. That was the market. So I suddenly thought, how much would it be if it went public? And this is just playing with analogy, but... But in thinking of different things, I think analogies are important. So that's why I study history. So repayment of public funds can be carried out in different ways, looking at the past examples. So, for example, they can do special dividend every time, or converting common stock to preferred stocks. And if you take reference Aozora Bank's case and then also Resonant Holdings, then they went public again. So this is different ways to do it. So as I have said earlier, we will follow the schedule by the end of June. We will hopefully be able to agree on specific repayment mechanism and come to some sort of a conclusion. If I said I will pay back, I will do so. I don't want to be just words only. I'm not like others who only say but not act. That's why we have been able to establish this company of 1.2 trillion yen in just a couple decades, because I do what I say, and I do not, I put relentless efforts and wisdom into this, and that's my style. In the financial services business, we will promote integration of domestic and overseas operations by directing management resources more boldly than before toward countries with high growth prospects, pursue further expansion of the revenue base by strengthening the bank securities linking overseas operations. Southeast Asia has also been impacted, especially negative impacts, because of the high interest rates in the United States. Even in the U.S., they're in a situation where there's uncertainties about them being able to do soft landing. I still think that there's a higher probability of soft landing, but if you look at the circumstances, stagflation possibility is starting to rise. So the timing going forward, when do they change the rates? And how many times? I think this is a critical, and we're coming to that critical stage. And because so many parties are affected by that. And of course, would Trump win or not? This is will also have a big impact. I have a feeling that maybe he will win the election as I look at different data, but I do not see that, enthusiasm in Mr. Biden. I mean, he's, old, but I don't see that energy level. And, do you want to really entrust the government to someone with that energy level? And if he's assigning a vice presidency to someone like Ms. Harris, then of course they can invite someone that is much better as a vice president. There's a lot more certainties. But as a leader of the nation, he must have that energy, enthusiasm. As Nietzsche says, greatness is about giving directions. So you have to be able to set out clear directions. So, for example, Mr. Kishida was saying, talking about ability to listen. This is not something a leader would say. Of course, I don't say don't listen, but it's inevitable. It's of course you have to listen, but it's not just about listen. It's not after listening, you need to turn a certain way, to a certain direction. And this is not good for him. So now, the steering of our company, I think we're entering, there's a possibility of entering into one of the most challenging era in my management. For example, who the president will be, what would be the investment in semiconductors would be. But I would have just decided with a certain analysis. And once I decide, I will just need to make sure that I carry it out. But in order to carry it out, I need to have a strategy as well. And as I thought through this, I thought the arbitrage is the essence of finance. So the money flows from low to high, from low growth to high growth. That's where the money flows all over the world. And that's the essence, that's the nature. So we need to go back to that basics and look at Southeast Asia or where cash is collected, accumulated, and overflowing, which is Middle East, and also Africa, where there's potential. And when I say Southeast Asia, I'm also thinking Southern India as well. So this is why I want to invest management resources in overseas. Otherwise, it would be very challenging for this company. So we will accelerate investment of management resources to increase involvement in the cash-rich middle region, and we will establish overseas business headquarters. So this is Southeast Asia. We have actually already planted seeds. So, for example, we have a bank in Cambodia with 70% in stake. This is already growing. Growth rate is high in Cambodia, but there's a question about stability of politics. So this is an area which we need to monitor. Vietnam, they restrict the foreign ownership to 20%. So this is problematic. So we have finally reached 20%, but the business performance is already public, and it's now become an equity method company. And as an investment income from equity method, we have already booked 5.7 billion in 2023 or 2024 March. And SBI Holding expects to receive approximately 1.3 billion in cash dividends in June 2024 as profit distribution. So in Ho Chi Minh, this bank has gone public. Mr. Dodge, who is managing this bank, is actually an incredible man. And Thailand and Cambodia online securities, SBI Thai online securities, we established in October 2014 because of the market situation. They dropped in their profits, but they have always been booking profits. And here's SBI Royal Securities in Cambodia. We have 65.3% in stake, established February 2010. This is the only Japanese affiliated comprehensive securities firm in Cambodia. So we have most of the large company deals. And Russia, like I've been saying, it's profitable, and there were people worrying about Russia. So everyone is exiting from Russia. So the ones that remain will win. Many of the Japanese companies are there, and they have nowhere else to depend on except for SBI. That's what they say. I'm very grateful for that. It's already profitable, already recording 828 million yen. And then Leaf 4, this This is an SBI insurance joint venture. We have 40% in stake. And we know that there will be auto insurance demand in Cambodia, so this is the business they want to do. And we also want to do this in Vietnam as well. And then this time, there are three that are invested by SBI Shinsei Bank. So it's not about Shinsei. We will look at the overseas business altogether because, whether it be Vietnam, there are different financial institutions, and we have an information network, and we need to share this information. Otherwise, it's quite foolish not to do so. And we will do all of that. So New Zealand, Australia, we have not really invested in those nations. New Zealand, this bank is 100% subsidiary of SBI Shinsei Bank. But if you look at the personnel staffing, where we could only do it with three people, they have like 10 people. So we need to really reconsider how we utilize the overseas subsidiaries. And like I have been saying earlier, we will have the bank part, and also the securities part, but they will be managed jointly. So we want to be creative here. London. The mayor of London will be coming to visit me. And the other day, CEO of London Stock Exchange came and visited. So there's a lot of activities and discussions with London. London, in a sense, because of Brexit, a city has been damaged severely, and they are eager to do something about it. So that is why they're depending on Japan, and they want to come and meet me. And it just so happens that Shinsei Bank has a company called Shinsei International Limited, and we had combined our securities business here. And maybe they can go to Middle East together, or they can build network and connection with others, and they can maybe issue debt products here. So we are thinking of doing different things with this subsidiary. Africa is also an important region. Novastar, this is a UK-based venture capital, and we have formed a strategic capital alliance with them. And we also work with Standard Chartered Bank in different ways. And in the last 4 months or so, I believe, I have been receiving many visitors from Saudi Arabia, and we have had so many different types of discussions. Including private and public sector, Saudi Arabian top personnel have come and talked about offer to do collaborations with us, including electricity as well. And so we had the top management of our side come, and we had time for discussions. And I think we have been able to really come closer to Saudi Arabia. And even up until before that, people from, for example, Aramco have come, and we have been able to build our personnel network. And in just this February, we have decided to establish SBI Middle East, where we can begin to engage in full-scale business, and we can also change our license. It's going to be costly a little bit, but we will be able to do more business in Saudi. We're hiring about five people from Saudi, and we're also sending people from Japan as well. So it doesn't matter what nation you're from, whether you're Japanese or outside. It's about that person, about that capabilities, and we will continue to hire people from the outside. I think that's the way we will be. Otherwise, we will not be able to overcome globalization. China, there's no one from Japan. So, for example, in Beijing, Shanghai, Dalian, Nanjing, Wuxi, in those cities, We have business bases and we have business activities there, but it's all run by Chinese. And we have no problems. And we have Chinese who speak Japanese. Many of them do. So in principle, that would be the case. And that's how we do our China business. And we don't need to really invest from Japan. The money that we have invested is actually circulating, and they are able to earn and then reinvest that money. So it's, runs well within the country. And we want to do the same in India. And I believe India is much more difficult than China. At a very early stage, I went to India. But to be honest, I was not very successful there. At the very beginning, we did SBI there with the State Bank of India. It was a joint venture of the largest bank in India, and we have decided to do PE firm. And we're expecting more information from them, but hardly none. And even the little information we got was hardly useful. And the number of public companies in India is probably the largest among all the nations in the world, much larger than Japan. Going public is so easy in India. So there's hardly, any information on private companies. So I just changed my strategy and decided to invest in public companies instead. Especially the younger ones that have recently gone public. That way, we will have more accurate information. So India was very challenging, but situation has changed. And that is why I have decided to work with Standard Chartered Bank. But we have not really been able to come up with a crystal clear result yet. Also, UAE. We're promoting expansion of business alliances with major companies. Saudi Arabia, we have reached a basic agreement with Aramco on the world's largest integrated energy and chemical company. And so we will support the company's Japan-based startup starting to expand its business in Saudi Arabia. And we also will do a National Research Institute in Saudi Arabia to do a business alliance so that we can also collaborate in the areas of secondary digital, fintech, biotech, and the NTG. This is a large Saudi Arabian ICT giant. We want to also collaborate with us. With UAE, we will collaborate with SC Ventures. It's a DeFi tokenization joint venture fund, which will be established. And then Trade Finex Tech. This is already established. We have 60%. Trade Finex has 40%. It's a joint venture that has already been established. And then, I want to make sure we complete this in 6 months, but we are establishing overseas business management division. So this is all of the businesses of overseas businesses of our group, from securities, bank, insurance, investment business, and all the businesses will be consolidated here. One of the contradictions that I feel is that, for example, we have investment business and we invest in a fintech-related, German bank, and the director there doesn't. No, the banking business, I think that's strange. It should be someone from Shinsei that would be sitting on the board there. So for this reason, this idea came up to my mind. I decided to just put it in this form so that we can flexibly send people where we have Popolo people, and we can send people from there. And as a target, we want to aim for profit before income tax expenses from overseas operations to account for 20 to 30% of the group's consolidated profit. This will be our 2 to 3 year target. Also for semiconductor, I have talked about it a number of times, so I will be this will be the last section. There's a lot of information here, so I don't have much to say about it. So I will skip these slides. These are all old slides I have already talked about. I just want to mention about what's important in our production line, and that we, coming from 28 nano to 55 nano. So what is 55 used on? So it could be automotive or power management IC or for wireless transmitter, receivers, telecommunications. 40 nano is here. And then after that, 28 and wafer on wafers. These are the new technologies. So we want to go with this, the combination of the production lines, and that's what we will build. And this is the progress on the foundry construction. You know the location. What we are very grateful for is that the governor was very passionate. And it's rare to see a governor so quick to act like that. He will, together with us, visit P5. He had visited with us, visited P5 foundry in Taiwan. There was a journalist was also there and was asking me to speak, so I took that interview. So P5 foundry and what's different, the Japan's foundry. So P5 is earthquake resistant, but this is earthquake proof, of course. That's the big difference. And their P5, garages in the underground, if you do this, it takes more time. Here in Japan, we're not going to build a garage or underground. We can do this open space because we have a lot of land. I said this earlier, but 70% of semiconductor materials come from Japan, 60% of the semiconductor equipment come from Japan, and the sourcing speed is much different because we're supplying from Japan. They would have to import it. So those would be the difference between Taiwan and Japan. And we are basically going to use a design that's already been used in P5 in Taiwan, so the time for design will be much shorter. So we think we should be able to shorten the time to operation. We're looking at phase one, 2027, but we want to accelerate that to 2026. I know that media was talking about 1 year. I have never said that it will be 1 year acceleration. I just said it will be accelerated and it will be within 2026. So that's the plan. And for different reasons, we think we can do this quickly. And if you look at Rapidus, it's quite fast. But the problem is they can't go through the tunnel because these are all related to regulations and legal issues. And if you look at Kumamoto, they're using water from the well. So there's a lot of land issues as well. So Miyagi, so far as I have heard, there's no issues that other regions are experiencing. So this is the ecosystem that we want to build, as I have been saying. For Vietnam as well, when the Prime Minister came, they were working with API, and they're really asking for foundry business in their country. So I hope that I can be involved in this in one way or another. And this is, as I have been saying earlier, this is a new ecosystem that goes beyond the existing ecosystem. And this will bring about synergies. Restar, as I have just announced today, there will be a new capital business alliance. Takamura-san and I, visited together. And so we have many opportunities like that. So I think I have just talked about 2 hours, just 2 minutes before 6 o'clock. So If you have questions, I will be at the back, so please stay on if you wish to ask a question.